We're going to take a different look at the financial crisis. Here's something to consider. In 1936, Congress opened up the post office to banking services, which essentially meant anyone could open an account, put their money in, and get a fixed return. They then abolished them in 1966. Michael Lind, a New America Foundation senior Whitehead fellow, says perhaps America should reconsider using the post offices as banks as the big banks and financial firms struggle. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
So give us your best argument. What would that look like, opening up the post office to be used as a bank?
Well, the idea is reviving the U.S. postal system, which we had actually from 1911 to 1967, would not compete with the commercial banks. It would add an added layer of financial security for most Americans who'd be allowed to have small deposits with government-backed returns. We could use that money, as other countries do. Most countries in the world have postal savings systems, and those the deposits are used only to fund to buy shares of the national debt and also to invest in national infrastructure. If you look at China, Japan, the post-communist countries of Eastern Europe, most of the European countries, they have these systems. So it doesn't replace the existing commercial bank system, but it provides an extra layer.
Give us some context as to why the whole program was abolished in the 60s.
Well, people were secure at that point. They were reassured by the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance, and also the post office offered fairly low rates of return, just of 2% on deposits. But one of the major factors was in the 50s and 60s, we had a lower proportion of foreign-born immigrants than we had at the beginning of the 20th century and than we have today. Today, we have nearly 1 in 10 Americans is unbanked. Many of these are immigrants who live in a purely cash economy. If we could bring them into the banking system through a revived postal banking system, they would no longer be preyed upon by predatory lenders and by unscrupulous credit card companies. And you would generate a lot of money that could be used for investment, where we need to spend, by some estimates, $300 billion a year mm-hmm. on infrastructure.
Interesting conversation, or at least I think it was, that John and I were having earlier today. And you mentioned a 2% return. About now, given this economy, there's a whole lot of people as well as companies that would love to get a 2% return.
Yeah, Citicorp would love that.
Well, that's right. And if you had a Treasury inflation-protected bonds, for example, you could be assured that your money would be safe. It wouldn't be a high return, but it would be an utterly safe investment. And so many middle-class and affluent people might want to open up deposits in a revived postal savings system as well.
Michael, any real discussion about this in the political world? Do you think there's any political will quickly to take on and consider, discuss this option?
Well, it's a provocative idea that I'm just launching, but I anticipate there will be a lot of interest in it because we've seen the confidence in the existing financial system has been destroyed. Now, the immediate mm-hmm. crisis is to recapitalize the banks, you know, to get lending going. But I think in the aftermath of this crisis, there's going to be a lot of interest in taking a second look at our entire financial system and considering novel ideas like reviving the postal savings system.
Michael Lind, we thank you for your time and your thoughts this morning.
Thank you.
Michael Lind is a senior Whitehead Fellow at the New America Foundation, where he directs the American Infrastructure Initiative.